calling 911 when in an accident may just not be enough. Car accident, remember. After 911, call 411. 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-PAIN is a legal and medical referral service. Non-employee spokesperson.
Backed it up here at every Friday with Romberg on the Morning Show. It's sponsored by Botran Rum, Taste of Perfection, award-winning Botran Rum, rum that is not just aged, but nurtured. Woj reported just moments ago that, this came out of left field. Kelly Olynyk, recently his rights were renounced by Boston. They had a clear cap space when they signed Gordon Hayward. The Heat have agreed to a deal, a four-year, $50 million deal with Kelly Olynyk, as he is now brought to the team. And as you say, great front court depth. This one, Barry, this one is going to surprise a lot of people.
It will, but you have to admire.
Your mic. There we go.
You have to admire Pat Riley actually trying to do something with the cap space they had instead of merely bringing back last year's team. So what's he getting in Kelly Olynyk? A guy who has range. Shot 35.4% on threes last year, 37% in his career. A guy who obviously can rebound as a seven-footer, 4.8 per game. Career averages of 9.5 points, 4.7 rebounds per game, and half a block per game. A decent defender, guy who can get under people's skin, right? We've heard allegations about Kelly Olynyk being a dirty player. And of course,
but now he's our dirty player, right?
Right. And of course, he got under Hassan Whiteside's skin a couple of years ago. So this is an interesting development. First reaction to this would be:
was it Kelly Olynyk, by the way, that got tangled up with Kevin Love when he hurt his shoulder?
Yes, I believe so.
I think it was.
And our callers will correct us if that's wrong, but I believe so. So the first thing that comes to my mind is, boy, they have really good power rotation now with Hassan, with James Johnson, who the Heat is still planning to re-sign. Just received a couple of texts about that. Bam Adebayo, and now Kelly Olynyk. The Heat, I was told, believes that Olynyk can play with Whiteside. He's also obviously going to be able to be his primary backup.
Sure.
Kelly Olynyk, 278 NBA games over 4 years. He started 36 of them. Only six starts last year. So he's primarily come off the bench, but he is capable of starting. And, of course, we saw Kelly Olynyk at his best, as we were talking about before the break, in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinal series against Washington, where he was just incredible in the closing quarter of that game to propel Boston to the next
round. And he had
14
points, 14 of his 26 in the fourth quarter.
Right.
I don't know why I remember that. But I do.
Yeah, just as incredible and unexpected performance as you could imagine. So this is your team now. All that's left, essentially, is re-signing Udonis Haslam at the minimum. And probably adding one more guard with your exception money. You have the $4.3 million exception, which probably will need to be used on a guard because you're not going to have the cap space to keep Wayne Ellington at the $6 million.
That's probably the casualty of this. And I would imagine they would now release McRoberts, right?
I guess if they need to create cap space, it would appear as though they would need to. That part I have not confirmed, but you would think in order to fit James Johnson in, they would need to do that.
786-360-0790. I thought you guys would light up the phones of this. They're empty now. I'm shocked. I figured there'd be a lot of reaction to this Olynyk signing. It came out of nowhere. I sure didn't see that coming. And a big surprise there is, as Barry says, they add front court depth to this team. And what was an asset to Boston is now an asset for the Miami Heat. And, you can take away from one team and add to yours. Always a good thing. Alongside Barry Jackson, I'm Frito. We'll take you for another 2 hours to 10 o'clock, but before we continue, let's go to headlines.
Here's what's trending now in Miami on The Ticket. WAXYAM South Miami and FM 104.3 HD2 Miramar.
The radio home of the Miami Heat.
And I was going to say the James Johnson watch continues, and it certainly does, as talks between his agent and the Heat are ongoing. Miami brought Deion Waiters back into the fold yesterday by agreeing to a four-year, $52 million deal, and now is looking to lock up Johnson. And it just came out a few minutes ago. Woj tweeted out that the Heat and Kelly Olynyk have agreed to a four-year, $50 million deal. Olynyk was a member of the Celtics, but they had to release him, renounces the offer to him, making him a free agent because they needed to clear cap space when they agreed to a deal with Gordon Hayward. And USA Today is reporting that in order to shed payroll to make the Marlins more attractive to potential buyers, a fire sale is not only expected, but imminent. The Herald's Clark Spencer reports that the team is heavily scouting five other teams' farm systems in preparation for possible deals. On the field, the Marlins fell 4-3 to the Cardinals. Marcelo Ozuna drove in all three runs and, believe it or not, now leads the majors with 67 runs batted in. Miami opens up a three-game series tomorrow in San Francisco to wind up the schedule prior to next week's All-Star game, which will be held in Marlins Park. Alongside Barry Jackson, I'm Frito. We'll take you till 10 o'clock. Go to the phones. Lines are open if you want to get in. 786-360-0790. Alan is in Miami. Hi, Alan.
Hello?
Yeah, sir, you're on the air.
Excellent. Hi, how's it going? Just wanted to give my two cents. This is pretty crazy. I don't think any of us saw this coming.
No. No, this was a surprise.
Yeah. I'm just hoping James Johnson hopefully is still getting retained. Wayne Ellington, I'm going to miss. There's no way to keep both, you don't think? How's it looking? Even if we cut McRoberts?
Well, they just signed Olynyk, right? So they're 4 years, $50 million. No, there's not enough money to go around.
Hopefully he stays healthy and it's not another McRoberts.
I don't think you have to worry about McRoberts getting hurt. He's going to get hurt at some point. Thanks for the call. So 786-360-0790. You should see Barry just furiously working here.
I'm texting Manny the number for the agent for Kelly Olynyk. Enough, I tried three times today because someone had put Kelly Olynyk in my head, was not able to reach him, and now we know why somebody put Kelly Olynyk in my head, because he's a member of the Miami Heat tonight.
There you go. That person's reliable, you know?
You know, the thing we talked about him being a dirty player, this has been the subject of several stories. You mentioned the Kevin Love thing. Olynyk made a name for himself in the 2015 Eastern Conference first round when he locked arms with Kevin Love, separating his shoulder after battling for a rebound. Olynyk was suspended for one game. You'll recall that Love missed the rest of the playoffs. And then his reputation took another hit in game three of that Washington series this year, where he set two illegal screens on Kelly Oubre Jr., which prompted the Wizards forward to charge Olynyk full speed.
What an idiotic thing that was. That's right.
Right.
Stupid.
Wasn't that ridiculous?
That's putting me ahead of the team.
Exactly. So Olynyk was asked after that game, this was just a couple months ago, are you a dirty player? And he said, that's ridiculous. I know what I am, what I do, and what I stand for. My teammates know, and that's all that matters. But there have been several players who have chimed in that he is dirty. Kevin Love said of that Kelly Oubre play, I thought it was a Bush League play. By Olynyk. I have no doubt in my mind Olynyk did it on purpose. That's just not a basketball play. The league will take a look at it, and it better be swift and just. And then Earl Clark, another player who's ripped Olynyk. Say you pull down someone, you're obviously trying to hurt somebody. I'm just being honest. That's what I saw. So Olynyk has taken criticism from other NBA players for being very aggressive on the line, certainly.
Tim McMahon covers basketball in Dallas for ESPN, and actually Zach is the one that retweeted it to us, to you and I. And I'm going to read Tim McMahon's tweet, Barry. It said, according to sources, the Mavs and Heat have had discussions. This was just before 7 o'clock. The Mavs and Heat have had discussions about a deal that would clear some cap space for Miami. See what happens there. 786-360-0790. I give Santi, our intern, credit just for spelling Olynyk correctly. Nice job by you. Let's go to Christian in Davie. Hello, Christian.
Hi. When exactly did they actually announce this Kelly Olynyk news?
Woj tweeted it, about 20, 25 minutes ago?
Yeah, happened about 17 minutes ago.
Wow. So you said he's probably a primary backup for Hassan Whiteside, which would probably be better, because if Hassan Whiteside is developing a jumper, which would be nice for all of us, instead of just being a rebound alley-oop machine like DeAndre Jordan, it'd be kind of nice 20 minutes off the bench, get an extra 7-footer shooting threes, like you said, like 37-30%, and he has playoff experience, which quite a few of the Heat haven't been in the playoffs for a while. So I think it's a fine pickup. It sucks that Wayne Ellington probably has to go, probably Rodney McGruder, like you said, but make most of the cap space.
Well, Magruder's not going anywhere.
No, Magruder's very cheap. He's at $1.3
million. Yeah.
So the question now would be, amid that Dallas report that you mentioned, who would be moved? Shams Charania reports, he's from The Vertical. He says, as the Heat tries to create space to sign James Johnson, Miami's in advanced discussions to send forward Josh McRoberts to Dallas. So that would be at a salary similar to Ellington, and thus would allow you to keep Ellington.
All right.
So that would be That would be an ideal scenario.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Barry Omar is in Hialeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Here we go. Hello, Omar.
Hey, Fredo. Thanks for taking my call, man.
You're welcome.
I actually spoke to you yesterday about the Rudy Gay rumors. I think this is way better. I've been actually following Olynyk since Gonzaga. He was one of my favorite players coming into the league, that draft. I think this is awesome. Came out of left field, literally. No one expected this to happen. I'm really, 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 really excited about this signing. What you guys were just speaking about right now, that would be awesome. If we could somehow trade away McRoberts and keep Ellington, that would be great. I wanted to ask you, if that doesn't happen, if we are looking for an extra guard, who's out there? Who can we get for the money that we have left over?
Right. Well, it's quite possible you'd be able to keep Wayne Ellington if the Heat's successful in pulling off this trade with Dallas for Josh McRoberts. They make very similar money, so you clear McRoberts $6 million off your cap. You can keep Ellington for 6.3. In that scenario, you would have to have James Johnson starting at around $11 million. If you want to pay him a little more, then you'd have to clear a little bit off your cap.
All right, let's go to Mark in Sunny Isles. Hi, Mark.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
It all stems down to Dwayne Wade. We should have kept him. You know, no one wants to come to the play with us on Whiteside. Truth.
What?
The recruiting's within. No one wants to come to play with Whiteside.
Okay, where are you getting this? Based on what?
He's a knucklehead. You look at his Snapchat. You need professionals. That's what you need. That's why everyone wants to go to Cleveland. That's why everyone wants to go to the Warriors.
Yeah, J.R. Smith is not a knucklehead, right? You know, no, he's one of the most sane guys. They want to go to Cleveland because Cleveland is LeBron.
But J.R. Smith is not the star player. LeBron James is.
So would you not have signed Whiteside to a 4-year, $98 million deal last year?
You had to because he was the only option.
Okay.
But I would have kept Wade and really kept the star player.
Okay, Look, Wade's gone. All right, that's you can say would have, could have, should have. That's a divorce that's just not getting undone. So let's move on and talk about the future rather than dwell on the past.
All right, so then we have to accept that Riley's not going to be able to get, you know, the free agents like we did in the past.
Okay, let me. I'm not trying to be difficult here, but let me just challenge you here. What would you rather have Riley? What free agents got away that you think are Riley's fault? For getting away, and let's deal one at a time here. Give me one or two of them.
This free agent class was not so great.
Okay,
I would have liked to see us get an interview with Blake Griffin. That would have been great.
Well, but Griffin signed a 5-year deal with to remain with the Clippers. They could offer him that fifth year. No other team could do that. And I would have been a little bit nervous signing Blake Griffin just because he's missed over 80 games in the last three seasons. That's a third of the games. But that said, he didn't give anybody a chance to sign him. Very, very quickly agreed to return to the Clippers. So I'm not going to fault Riley that. That was clearly where Griffin wanted to remain. Which other ones?
So do you think the answer is Kelly Olynyk?
I think it adds depth to a front court. I don't think it's going to break the bank. Well, okay, instead of Olynyk, you're advising Pat Riley. What do you do instead?
I think you hold the cap and you wait for the trade deadline. I think that's really where it's at. You gotta sign a player that we can trade right away in the deadline.
Well, all right. Well, Mark, thanks for the call.
Well, I think a case could be made if you look at what they've done tonight that they got the best remaining player in free agency. I know some would say Rudy Gay would be, but the concerns that have been raised to me about Rudy Gay the last couple of days had been toughness, had been coming off an Achilles, which is a major injury for any 30-year-old,
right?
And whether he would fit into the Heat culture. So that's why when I initially reported there was Heat interest in Rudy Gay, I've tempered it the last couple of days, noting that Miami was not interested in paying substantially for him. The Olynyk signing gives you front court depth, not only that you can use, obviously, in case you have injuries, but also assets in a trade. With Olynyk, James Johnson, Whiteside, Adebayo, that could potentially be, one of the top six group of power rotation players in the league? Certainly in the Eastern Conference, you'd say, you know, top third of power rotations. You have Whiteside, who's on the cusp of being an all-NBA center. Mm-hmm. James Johnson is a terrific player. Olynyk, who was being pursued by a lot of teams since Boston had to renounce him a few days ago. I guess the only concern would be, would your roster be better served by having another shooter who was more of a two or a three. However, that concern could be mitigated if you are able to trade Josh McRoberts to Dallas. It's being widely reported that there are advanced talks on that, because that would allow you to keep Wayne Ellington.
Now, Woj actually had a typo here. Here's a tweet he did a while ago. It said, sources, according to sources, and listen to this carefully, Miami has been working on a Josh McRoberts salary dump to Miami. So, like, they're going to trade with themselves. He meant to Dallas. little typo there. John is in Fort Lauderdale. Hello, John. Welcome to the Ticket.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
What's up?
So, when I first heard about the Olynyk news, I was like, And then I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? Kind of makes sense. You got a guy who's tough, scrappy, not afraid to back down from anybody. You know, him and Whiteside had a little problem. He won't back down. That's a good backup. He fits Pat Riley's toughness, Nick's defensive mold. A little off the bench, he could stretch the floor. She could shoot, like, almost 40 from threes. Mm-hmm. A big man, 7 foot, you know? You know, Pat Riley, this hopefully, I know people are a little skeptical maybe because they're inclined to think of Josh McRoberts, another white guy that's supposed to, you know, be tough and intimidate LeBron, but this dude actually has got that scrappiness off the bench, and I think he does make us a little bit bigger and stronger off. We need a little energy because, really, the other caller talking about we lost Wade. Yeah, that's the past, but all we can talk about how we lost Birdman, like even him off the bench, the energy. You know, this is, you know, Olynyk is a totally different player, but, you know, he could stretch the floor. It's a totally different look once Whiteside comes out, which is when he's being the shot blocker, rim protector, big man that he is.
All right, thanks for the call. Now, Grant just told me in my ear, Bleacher Report is reporting that the Heat have agreed to send McRoberts and a second rounder to the Mavs for center A.J. Hammonds. Is that right?
Yeah, it's actually multiple reports.
Okay.
ESPN's got it, too. Yeah, it's a lot of people's got it.
A.J. Hammonds played at Purdue, a 7-foot center.
Oh, no, I'm an Indiana guy. That's our arch rival.
Yeah, a second-round pick of Dallas last year, 13 months ago, picked 46th overall. He was actually an AP Honorable Mention All-American in 2016 and first team All-Big Ten and a three-time All-Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. If he makes the team, he would obviously be kept as a developmental third big. Played some for Dallas last year, modest numbers, appeared in 22 games for the Mavericks, averaged 2.2 points, 1.6 rebounds, only played 7.4 minutes per game as a rookie second rounder. So the Heat had to receive somebody back. They get A.J. Hammonds. But, boy, what a coup this is to be able to get rid of Josh McRoberts' salary off your books and only have to give up a second-round pick to do it. Unbelievable work by Andy Ellisberg and Pat Riley.
Absolutely. Great job. Robert and Boak actually is going to shift gears and talk a little Marlins talk when we come back. Others are Heat calls. David, Mike, Robert, you guys hold on. Others are welcome to join. 786-360-0790. Back after this. Come join us at the Ticket and the Ticket Promotions team for an all-star broadcast this Monday at Black Market in downtown Miami. It's just off Biscayne. We're giving away a pair of all-star FanFest tickets every half hour. It begins at 4 p.m. and there will be all-star specials and more. Black Market Miami, it's presented by Red Rabbit. It takes the Miami sports fan back to the 80s. Black Market, the future of the sports bar, with the history of Miami. AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2, the official radio partner of the 2017 All-Star Week. Things are moving fast and furious. About a half hour or so ago, Woj tweeted out that the Heat and Kelly Olynyk have agreed to a four-year, $50 million deal. Barry is reporting, Barry Jackson by my side for the show, that the Heat are still intending or working very hard to sign James Johnson. This won't preclude that. They have agreed, or no, there's reports that they have agreed to a deal with Dallas to send Josh McRoberts and a second rounder to Dallas for center A.J. Hammonds, right?
Right. Former second round pick of the Mavericks out of Purdue last year. To me, the more amazing accomplishment of this evening is not signing Kelly Olynyk at 4 years, 50, but somehow finding a taker for Josh McRoberts' contract. Thank you, Mark Cuban. That's cleared $6 million off your books. And now you have the money to be able to keep Wayne Ellington, assuming that James Johnson is willing to take a deal starting at $10 million.
And Rudy Gay thought to maybe be coming to Miami when the evening started. Woj is reporting that he's agreed to a two-year deal worth $17 million plus with the San Antonio Spurs.
Right.
So dominoes are starting to fall.
Yeah, the Heat was not willing to go to that level with Rudy Gay. I have been guided the last couple of days to not overplay the Gay story because of concerns about A, his toughness, B, whether he's a Heat culture fit, and C, concerns about anyone who's 30 and is coming off a ruptured Achilles. So Olynyk over Gay. Do you agree with that? Is Olynyk the better player?
Yeah, and also Gay worries me. He's 30 years old and he's coming off an Achilles injury, and that's a concern.
You know, and he really hasn't won most of anywhere he's been, unfortunately.
I remember John Hollinger went from ESPN to an executive position with the Memphis Grizzlies. He came up with player efficiency rating and all that, and they hired him as executive. And I think one of the first order of business is he shipped Rudy Gay off to Toronto. I think that was like, I don't know if he was in his desk for about 4 minutes, and he just got rid of him right away.
Right. So fans who don't like this move will probably say, okay, what are we going to do at small forward? Where now it's going to either be Justice Winslow or Rodney Magruder. You have to hope, obviously, that Winslow's offensive game develops. But keep in mind, you can play at least half the game with three guards, right? I mean, Josh Richardson and Dion Waiters, both very equipped to be able to defend opposing team small forwards. The Heat's numbers with three-guard lineups in the second half of last year were terrific. They did it a lot, and most of the best lineups that they used after the All-Star break had three guards. So I think if Winslow does not prove that he's a substantially better offensive player, I think you're going to see lineups of some combination of Josh Richardson, Tyler Johnson with Dragic, and with Waiters, maybe some Ellington. Three of those play at once a lot of the time.
That was Barry Jackson. I'm Frito. We'll take you up until 10 o'clock. Going to shift gears here with this call because there's a lot to talk about. Certainly we're dominated by the Heat, but the Marlins fire sale story is a big one that at some point we intend to get to a lot here on the show. Robert is in Boca. Robert, thank you for holding.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, when I used to be able to call you more often, we talked about like sports books and stuff. the new book by Richard Sandomir about the making of Pride of the Yankees is excellent.
Okay.
Look out for that. But let me ask you, if you were one of the groups that's looking to buy the Marlins, and you know, you see what you're getting and what you're getting into, why would you want the current administration to have a fire sale?
Well,
how could you trust the front office?
Barry, you tweeted out. I'm going to keep you on hold. I'm out here, Richard. I'm not going to hang up on you. I don't think this was today necessarily, but you tweeted out. I saw something that Rob Manfred insisted on being consulted, the commissioner of baseball, if the Marlins were going to do something like this while sales talks were ongoing. Is that accurate?
Yes. Rob Manfred made that comment to Craig Mish, gentleman we know locally, and Jim Bowden on Sirius XM Radio. So we'll ask Rob Manfred next week when he's in town. What does that mean exactly? Does that mean you have to approve any Marlins trade with substantial salary at this point? And just what is substantial salary in by his definition?
Well, you know what? I read this article, and Rick, Robert, this is for you too. By Bob Nightingale today, which I put on our Facebook page, and I didn't know that the Marlins, and this is largely Giancarlo Stanton, had more in long-term commitments than any team in baseball, almost $500 million in long-term commitments. Now, a lot of that is eaten up by Giancarlo Stanton, but still, that exceeds the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cubs, all these, and Boston, all these high-spending teams, and all eclipsed by the Marlins, who draw about four fans a game.
Now, which contract would you get rid of? If you had a choice of Wei-Yin Chen or Stanton, which to you is the bigger albatross, the bigger burden on you going forward, knowing that Wei-Yin Chen is going to be owed $20 million, $21 million, $22 million over the last 3 years?
I would
Stanton. There's no productivity there.
Well, I would Stanton, though, because starting next year, and he's got 10 years left after this year, he's not going to be paid anything less than $25 million. And as I've said before, since he signed his deal, the market, is particularly this past offseason, for power hitters has just fallen off the cliff. It's gone way down. It's simple economics. Why it has is teams value that differently than they used to. So any team that they're going to trade Stanton to, and by the way, he's got a full no trade clause, he'd have to waive, but any team they trade him to, they're going to have to pick up a chunk of this. But that's the bigger albatross, I think, right now. Even though there's cost certainty with Giancarlo Stanton, it's also a ton of money, way more than he would get right now if you were angling for a similar deal.
I always have this picture in my mind that when these guys finally sell the team, that Loria and Samson are like Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd at the end of the movie Trading Places.
Looking good.
Looking good.
Feeling right. Feeling good, Lewis. Yeah. That's right. Hey, Robert, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I have a question that I put on our Facebook page, and I will Certainly, we're going to take your calls. But I have a question for all of you out there regarding the Marlins. Look, according to Bob Nightingale of USA Today, he Loria, is looking to shed salary to make this team more attractive to potential buyers. You know, to make it shed the payroll. And that includes anybody. Stanton, Yelich, Osuna, anybody. All right. Now, Stanton, again, has a no trade. He's got to waive that to be dealt, but I'm not sure he'd want to stick around here anyway. And this is really the third fire sale. The first one was by Wayne Huizenga after the 97 World Series. I don't really count letting Pudge walk and trading Derek Lee to the Cubs after the 2003 World Series as a fire sale. I just don't put that in the same category. Lurie did a fire sale with the trade with Toronto in shipping all the, I hate to admit, actually turned out to be a good deal for the Marlins when he shipped all those players to Toronto. I would call that a fire sale. And this would, if this is true, be the third one. So my question to you, the listeners, is this. You Marlins fans out there, all six of you. If it meant taking a fire sale and hitting the reset button, which could take several years to recover from because they don't have a very good farm system, but you would think they would get back some good young players in this fire sale. If it meant getting a fire sale and hitting the reset button, is it worth it if it means that you get rid of Jeffrey Loria forever? That's my question. Is the trade-off worth it? 786-360-0790. Back to the Heat we go. Rick is in Boca. Hello, Rick. You're on the ticket.
Yeah, hey, Josh. You guys have a great show. I have two things. I don't know what to say first because you brought up the Marlins. I was going to talk to you about the Heat, but let me just try to get two of them in. I don't understand the psychology behind getting rid of people like Yelich.
I agree.
Don't you want to build a team with a guy like Yelich? Why would you? What, are you going to get rid of him, get a young guy, and then spend 4 or 5 years bringing up a guy to the level Yelich is at? I don't understand.
Well, especially, let me add to this, Rick, especially he signed a 7-year, $49.5 million deal. That's a good deal for the ball club. Why jettison that contract?
It's astounding to me that guy's even mentioned in trade talks. And Stanton, okay, they knew when they signed him that it was a ridiculous deal. But Ozuna, Yelich, wouldn't that be the guys that you would want to build your team on if you were buying
them?
Well,
Ozuna might be. He's got one more year, Barry, right, I think, before he becomes a free agent. He's pricing himself out of the Marlins. And I know, look, every Marlins fan has a right to say, well, look, Frito, you know what? That's the kind of guy you sign. Look what he's done. But they're not going to want to afford him. They're not going to want to pay him. Now, maybe new ownership would. And I have to say, by the way, real quick, you reported earlier that it looks like, well, the New York Post is reporting that a major group is now out of the running.
Right. The New York Post is saying tonight that Wayne Rothbaum and Mitt Romney, that group. Tag Romney, I should say, son of Mitt Romney, the former Republican presidential nominee, that they have stopped their pursuit of the team. Have not confirmed that. We've talked, my colleagues and I at the Miami Herald, Doug Hanks, Clark Spencer, and I have talked to people tonight involved with the group who have said they were under the impression that they're still open to buying the team if Loria comes around to his price. Now, they've offered $1.1 billion. Loria has lowered his price from $1.3 billion to $1.2 billion, but Rothbaum, who's now the leader of that Tag Romney group, has been unwilling to go any more than $1.1 billion. So the New York Post reports tonight they're stepping away. Whether Loria changes his mind, accepts $1.1, potentially they could be reengaged.
Now they're also reporting about Derek Jeter.
Yes. Yeah, the New York Post is also reporting that Derek Jeter has lost a billionaire who was key to his group, a gentleman by the name of Richard Chaffetz, a Chicago billionaire. Now they're saying that another billionaire, a step forward, named Bruce Sherman, who's the co-founder of Legg Mason's money management firm, Private Capital, that he might be able to pick up the slack with some of the money lost. But the bottom line with Jeter is he's now been trying for about 6 months to raise enough money to approach the $1.2 billion price. He's been unable to get there. Loria keeps giving him more and more time because Loria is infatuated with Derek Jeter. He loves the man. So it appears as though Jeter will continue getting time. In the meantime, there's a third group that's forming, led by Jorge Mas, a local resident of some prominence. From what I'm told, he has not made a formal bid yet, but the Marlins are aware of his interest. He's putting an investment group together. I have concerns about his bid only because I know he does not value the team at the price the Marlins want. So while he probably could afford the team, I'm not sure he's going to be willing to offer $1.2
billion. All right, and back to basketball. Barry, Woj is now reporting. How long has Vince Carter been in the league? Since, like, 1950?
Right, 206 years.
He's agreed to a one-year. He's getting $8 million. Woj is reporting that the agents have told him that Vince Carter has agreed to a one-year, $8 million deal with Sacramento.
Incredible. And the Kings keep adding past their prime pieces. Yeah. Zach Randolph. Certainly, they added.
It was a two-year. I can't remember.
I think $14 million a year.
Wow. Okay.
And by the way, George Hill as well, who's still certainly in his prime.
George Hill to Sacramento.
George Hill to Sacramento in the last couple of days.
And Memphis, I think, announced they're going to retire Zach Randolph's uniform.
Right. A nice gesture move for the Grizzlies.
Nice
absolutely
move. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Luis in Miami. Good evening, sir. You're on the ticket.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
All right, so I had a question. I like the signing. I think that he spreads the floor good for a big man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they can use him in the starting lineup like they use Babbitt? Or you think he's not nimble enough and he would have to come off the bench?
I think he's a bench boy. I think he's coming off the bench and being primarily Whiteside's backup. Barry, your thoughts?
That'll be the most interesting lineup decision that Spoelstra has. Would you rather start James Johnson, who actually played well as a starter very late in the season when Babbitt was out? Or do you start Olynyk, who's been mostly a backup in his career? To me, there is a case you could make either way.
All right.
Obviously, the appeal of having Johnson coming off the bench is you keep together the great bench tandem of Tyler Johnson and James Johnson, who were the highest scoring bench tandem in the league last year. So that would certainly be the lure of keeping James Johnson off the bench and starting Olynyk.
I wish somebody would describe me as Chicago billionaire Josh Friedman, but alas, those words will never be uttered. Chris is in Tamarack. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Fredo. How's everything, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to call and touch on the question that you had earlier about would you trade people on the Marlins if it meant getting rid of Loria once and for all?
If the Marlins did do a fire sale, would the fire sale be worth it if it meant that it led to the sale of the club and Loria would be gone forever?
There cannot be a rational Marlins fan on the face of the earth that would not take that deal in a heartbeat. Our farm system is already so bad right now that we're not going to be relatively competitive bringing people up over the next couple of years anyway. So if you go, as much as I love Christian Yelich, Marcelo Ozuna, Giancarlo Stanton, as much as I love all these guys, like I'm a huge Marlins fan, but the fact of the matter is, if it means we get rid of Loria, there's no way anyone could be like, oh yeah, I love these guys so much, you know, if we can keep them. No, it's good. They're gone. They're gone. See ya. Love you guys. Bye.
Okay. That's a great call.
Well, the farm system is pretty deficient. It's one of the three worst in baseball. It hasn't helped that their two top draft picks, their first round pick in 2015 and 2016, have required Tommy John surgery. Exactly. Tyler Kolek, a high school right-hander who was picked second overall in 2015, and then Braxton Garrett, the lefty, who was their best prospect, another prep player who was their first-round pick in 2016, now is also going to get Tommy John and is going to be out for over a year. So that's hurt them. But the other thing that's hurt them is just their inability to draft quality position players. Yeah. They have a third baseman named Brian Anderson, who's a pretty good prospect. He might step in if Prado is traded in the next month. But beyond that, it's a pretty barren system as far as position players.
We've got lines wide open alongside Barry Jackson. I'm Fredo. 786-360-0790 is the phone number. We'll take your calls, your questions, comments, anything you want. We're back after this. Anna Jar and Levine reminds you that football season is coming, and the ticket has you covered from training camp, which starts at the end of this month, through the regular season and Super Bowl. Anna Jar and Levine, accident attorneys, call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Football, hear it on AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2. The ticket, Fredo here, alongside Barry Jackson, best information guy in town, as he's working furiously. All these stories are going on right now. About a little less than an hour ago, in case you just tuned in, Woj tweeted out, the first one to tweet out, that the Heat have agreed to a four-year, $50 million deal with Kelly Olynyk. Barry quickly checked with his sources, and the Heat are still working feverishly, I would say, to bring James Johnson back into the fold. It doesn't preclude them signing him. And, you know, if he can take a little bit less, then that deal could be consummated.
Yeah, the James Johnson deal is going to get done. It's been portrayed to me as being finalized.
Okay.
So here's your team. You got Kelly Olynyk, James Johnson, Hassan Whiteside, and Bam Adebayo as your power rotation players. Udonis Haslam, obviously, would be the fifth coming back at a minimum deal.
Okay.
You have Justice Winslow and Rodney Magruder as your small forwards, so that's seven. Your guards will be, obviously, Goran Dragic and Deion Waiters, and then Tyler Johnson, Josh Richardson, and now potentially Wayne Ellington off your bench. Now you're in position to be able to get Wayne Ellington because the Heat was fortunate enough tonight to find a taker for Josh McRoberts.
Yeah, that's incredible.
$6 million contract. They're trading him to Dallas along with a second-round pick in exchange for a young developmental center, former second-round pick out of Purdue, who was a rookie last year.
If I'm the Heat, I'm giving Mark Cuban for Josh McRoberts a lifetime supply of crutches.
Yes. Right? Yeah, what a nice gesture by Cuban to take McRoberts.
We'll pay him a massage therapist for Josh McRoberts or a trainer for a year.
Exactly. So with that young center, that gives you 13 players. You have four more roster spots. Remember, the NBA now allows you to keep 17 players, but the last two of those players are developmental players who can spend no more than 45 days with your team. They must be primarily in the minors. So with the two extra spots, you have options. You can sign another guard, perhaps some small forward depth. The money the Heat would basically have in this scenario would be their $4.3 million exception, which can't be combined with cap space. So I would expect probably another shooter with that money. But basically, we know your team now. We have 13 players once Haslam's re-signed, and then two more cheap additions. And this team should be, to me, my expectations don't change dramatically with Olynyk, Josh. I still think a fifth or sixth seed. What's your expectations? Has tonight's news changed them?
No, I mean, could it lead to another victory? So maybe. Maybe it gives them better depth up front. I don't think this moves them up in the seeds. I think there are at least five teams in the East better than the Miami Heat are right now. If health is constant among all of them, we know that never is. You know, there are some catastrophic injuries across the board when it comes to any teams. But I still think they're maybe as high as a six seed. I'm not sure beyond that.
Right. I would agree with that. The other thing the Olynyk thing does is it makes it even more clear what had already been apparent, that the Heat's not going to have cap space in the summer of 2018.
No, enjoy this team.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You are going to have to move a bunch of contracts to be able to compete for a max player next summer. Now, it was always unlikely that the Heat would be able to land a Russell Westbrook, LeBron's return. I know George Sedano threw out last night that that's a possibility. But
he threw
obviously
out a possibility
everyone,
he could come here?
He did. Yeah, George mentioned that last night. But I think most would agree that LeBron's return would seem unlikely. So in order to pursue any elite players next summer, you're just going to have to trade a bunch of contracts because you're going to be capped out by re-signing James Johnson and Olynyk and Deion Waiters to multi-year deals.
I would guess, if I had to venture a guess, and you know, it's not like I'm, as Boog would say, coming down the mountain with the tablets here, but 12 months from now, I don't think LeBron's in Cleveland anymore. I'm not sure where he is. I don't know if he takes his talents to L.A. I'd be surprised if he came back down here. But I don't think he's with the Cavs a year from now, which is one reason, besides being lowballed, that I don't think Chauncey Billups. Excuse me. On-air sneeze. I apologize.
Bless you.
Unavoidable. Thank you. Chauncey Billups reportedly was lowballed by Dan Gilbert in trying to recruit him to be GM, and Gilbert's never valued that position at all in his 12 years as owner. But I just don't think he values it a lot. And if I'm Billups and I look, besides the money, I'm guessing, you know what, he might not think that that LeBron's going to be there in a year. If so, how attractive is that job?
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. I can't believe they lowballed him like that. Even though he had no experience, the going rate for GMs is in the $4 million range, and to offer him less than half that is sort of insulting. And you can completely understand why Chauncey Billups stayed at ESPN. ESPN gave him a raise, but did not match the offer that Cleveland gave him.
No, and if you're an aspiring GM and you've got a decent chance of getting a job, you know what? You may bury the home of Andy Griffith. You know, you might, all kidding aside, you might get one chance. You might not get a second one. And if I want, I'm not saying I have to go to a great team, but I want at least a team where I feel I've got the resources and the talent to at least compete and be competitive. I'm not saying I have to be elite, but if he thinks LeBron is going, that might be his one and only chance at running a club. And you know what? It might not be a very good one at all 12 months from now.
Right, exactly. Without LeBron, that's a team that What is with Love and Irving? What are you, a mid seed, maybe fifth, sixth, seventh seed?
And Dan Gilbert, in his 12 years as owner, has had four general managers. He's never renewed the contract of any of them. Not one time. He's let them all go after their first contract in one form or another.
He's Daniel Snyder, but with a championship, right?
That's right.
Just a guy who's never happy with the people running his team, and apparently not his coaches either, having cycled through Mike Brown and David Blatt. And now Lou obviously has at least some security until maybe they lose to Golden State in the finals again next year.
Well, by Rudy Gay, who reportedly did agree to a two-year, $17 million deal, just tweeted out, "Let's go Spurs." Mm-hmm. Vince Carter, who's, I think, collecting Social Security, just agreed to a one-year, $8 million deal with the Sacramento Kings. And just, how old is he? 40? He's cracked 40, hasn't he?
Yeah, let me check Vince Carter's age, but he's got to be 40. As Keith Olbermann would say, he's 206, right? Let's check Vince Carter's age. But yeah, it's amazing that he's still playing 40.
Is he
40? Vince Carter playing at 40.
Wow.
He's not going to quit until Ichiro quits.
Yeah, right.
Right?
786-360-0790 is the number. And again, we throw out that Marlins question. Would you take a fire sale if it means that Lorio, it would facilitate the sale of the club and Lorio would be out of our lives forever? Is that a fair trade-off? 786-360-0790. For those that are wondering, oh, the Heat should have signed Kelly Olynyk, or they should have locked up somebody else, maybe they should have gone after Rudy Gay. Are you happy with the moves that Riley has made thus far? And if not, and this is the bigger question, what would you have done? It's easy to say, I don't like the moves, but you put yourself in Pat Riley's chair. What moves, realistic ones, mind you, would you have done? You play general manager. This is the part of talk radio. I mean, I love my job, but challenging listeners who say, oh, it's, you know, I want to fire this guy. Well, okay, firing is the easy part. Who's his replacement, realistically, that you would, you know, replace him with? That's the difficult part, the realistic decision that you have to make. It's not that easy. 786-360-0790. If you're dissatisfied with the moves thus far that he'd have made, you pick the ones that you would have made. Again, you know, don't say, oh, I would have traded for LeBron. We're talking realistic ones. As much as you can, put yourself in the chair of a team executive.
You know, I mix in the Olynyk move. I like the fact that you bolster your front court. I like the fact that you now have an asset who's tradable. I don't like the fact that you're taking on another long-term contract. Now, even without Olynyk, the Heat was not going to have much cap space next summer. They wouldn't have any if Josh Richardson were to accept a contract extension, which he can be offered beginning next month. But now you definitely won't have cap space, and you're not going to have cap space two summers from now either, when it's another good free agent group led by Klay Thompson. So I wonder about giving this sort of money to a player who is a pretty good NBA player, but not a great player. It seemed to me to be Riley just wanting to do something impactful after being spurned by Hayward. So I'm lukewarm on this move.
All right. Victor in Miami, we'll get to your call right after the break. Barry, I have a question. You answered after the break. The fact that what you're saying, that they're really handcuffed, the Heat are handcuffed in terms of going after free agents in the next year or two. They're pretty much capped out. Does this mean that Riley, knowing that he probably can't make any, unless he makes a massive trade, that he can't make any free agent moves in the next 2 years, does this spur his earlier departure perhaps? Anyway, does he want to wait three more years before he can go into the deep end of that free agent pool?